You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin. Happy Yellow Day. Everything's a little more cheery on Yellow Day, isn't it? This is one of our ways that we get to play with the movement of vibration through the color spectrum and moving from dense to light. So we've been through red, orange, yellow. So what will be next?
Green.
That's right. You know your rainbow. So next week is green, but we're in yellow week this week and beginning to really go deeper into looking at knowing beyond thought. For some of us, that just feels completely unthinkable. Get the pun? It's never... I was going to say, it's never good when you have to say, do you get it? It's always a sign. But looking at knowing beyond thought, and so we've been working with unhooking our awareness, local awareness is what he's calling it, but this capacity for the movability of this field of aliveness and formlessness, the ground of the being, the sense and the truth of who we are, to not orient it first to what do I think about this? Anyone notice or start to pay attention to when you see an email or you see someone out from across on the patio, what is your first energy? If you really are sensitive to it, probably the first thing you're doing is you're going to, what do I think about them? Or a little more subtle would be, what do I feel when I see them? And then doesn't that flavor everything else? Before you've even exchanged a word or you've opened your email, there's a thought. So we're unhooking from first referencing when we get sensory input. First referencing, what do I think? What do I feel? To... it is arising. Just like there is sound. The sound can be present without a thought. Light can be present without a thought. So that's the movement that we're shifting into. And not as an idea, but as an embodiment. As a living awakeness. So I'd like for us to begin our service today with sharing together, saying together our affirmations for this week based on chapters 6 and 7. So let's say them together. Together, we are directly experiencing another way of knowing. I am developing my sixth sense. I am discovering thinking as inner hearing. I am glimpsing awake awareness. I am upgrading to non-conceptual awareness. I am embodied knowing. I am returning emotions to their natural state. And so I invite you to allow those words, those statements of being to penetrate into your awareness as we open with our prayer for adventure and faith. So you're welcome to keep your eyes open or closed. And with the intentionality of recognizing this as an invocation, in this moment, oh beloved one, we shift into freedom. We shift into stillness. this quiet stillness leads awareness to my breath. I breathe in, I breathe out. In, out. I am aware of a unifying sacredness in the stillness, in the breath, in my awareness. I shift into freedom, oneness. And so it is. Amen. So how are you finding the material a week later? Are you resting into it a little bit more? No. Okay. All right. So stay with it. So one of the main pieces is that it's really important to keep practicing. So one of the glimpse that we did for the meditation today is a really good one that you can do at any point during your day. And it works both for emotions and thoughts. I found myself really you working with that one a lot. How many of the times do you say, I am, and then you fill in the blank? So there's an identity there. There's an I am. There's a claiming. You know, when Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he says, in the burning bush is happening, and he said, who shall I say sent them? And it's recorded that it says, I am that I am. This divine identity. So when we're invoking, I am fat, I am old, what are some of our other favorite ones? I am tired. Come on, that's not very juicy. I am worthless. There we go. That's juicy. I am tired. You can kind of go, yeah, I'm tired. I am worthless. There's some energy there, right? In what we say, we tend to believe. That's part of the thinking process that we're unhooking from. But I am, there's this I am identity that's claiming a really negative, limiting piece. And so that the process of this glimpse practice that we just worked with to move from I am worthless to I feel worthless, which can you feel that? There's a little bit of separation there. Were you able to, in the meditation, there's like a, oh, it's not who I am, but it's something that I'm experiencing. It's very similar, if not the same thing, as what we've been working with psychosynthesis. There's a separation that's beginning. There's spaciousness that's developing. And then taking into the next layer of I am aware. There is awareness of this feeling that's arising or this thought that's passing through that I'm hooking into. I am aware first, and then whatever the content of that awareness that's coming through is. Do you feel there's even more separation? Not in a way that's disconnected, but in a way that is unhooked, not identified with. So it's a great one to keep practicing. And then the welcome. this is where some of us might have a real challenge. From awareness, not from an identified space of I am worthless. If you welcome worthlessness from I am worthless consciousness, it's going to be that reflective thinking again. You're going to be self-referencing thought, and it's going to go in a spiral. And I remember Adi Ashanti calls this a downward vortex. You know, the only place to go when you look and reflect on thought is more thought, and it's a downward trajectory. We've all been there. Can you feel that energy? That's not the welcoming. So and this is in centering prayer, when we talk about welcoming whatever is arising, it's from this awareness, from awake awareness. What's described as the formless, contentless ground of being that includes form and formlessness. So from I am to I feel to I am aware of feeling to welcome. Welcome. This too is included. And I've been having my own journey with this work, this process of unhooking and moving into letting it be. So, and I share this with you as a glimpse into when you are living your life, some of the wake-up calls and potentially ways that you can start to work with this material as well. So on Tuesday, I wake up. Tuesday is really my Monday. I'm not very good about it, but I'm supposed to take Monday off as my day off. So Tuesday is really my official first day. So Tuesdays are generally packed with meetings and phone calls and emails and whatever else, you know, seems to have cropped up over a couple of days of not looking at that. And so I woke up on Tuesday knowing that I had a full day and I had joyfully, and I actually wanted to, and I still wanted to, know that I was responsible for bringing in Mary Jean's birthday cake. And I have a vision of what this needs to look like, and it must be homemade. After all of the cakes Mary Jean has made us, she deserves a homemade cake. And it needed to be coconut, and there were certain things it needed to be. So I had gone to the grocery store the night before in anticipation of putting together this homemade birthday cake, which I knew would take about 2.5 hours. And as I'm waking up, I'm going through my morning ritual, coffee, meditation. I sit down at my computer. I get immersed into my world. I have a phone call, a phone appointment at 9 until 10. I look up. Cake is at 2. Yeah, oh. So I'm beginning to tell myself there is not enough. There's not enough time, mostly there's not enough time, but there's not enough. And then I finally get into my kitchen. I if it's all timed correctly, it will work, because it needs time to cool and so forth. I look at my ingredients, and I got everything for the cake. The frosting, however, I had missed some key ingredients. So I thought, okay, what's my plan here? So again, I'm this seed idea of there is not enough has now begun to infiltrate my world. You know, these thoughts start out pretty innocuous, and then when we hook on to them, all of a sudden, we're looking for evidence that this is true. And when we look for evidence, I remember this wonderful Unity minister, Reverend Dr. Gary Simmons, came here a couple times, and I've actually done some other work with him as well at Unity Village. And I remember one of his key phrases that my mom and I would come back to over and over and over again: when you're looking for evidence, you will find it. Isn't that a great line? When you're looking for evidence, you will find it. So whatever the scientific method, you know, you have a theory and then you seek to prove it or disprove it. When we have a theory, when we have a thought, we will seek to prove it. And at the exclusion of ignoring all other evidence. This is not awareness. So I'm in not enough mode at this point. Not enough time, and now there's not enough cream cheese, aka no cream cheese, in my house. So I'm recognizing I need to also go to the grocery store. So I'm going to make the cake, and then I'm going to go to the grocery store. And I realize I need not only unsweetened coconut, but sweetened coconut, because I really had forgotten the frosting completely, and that's an important part of a cake. So I start making my cake. This is not my first cake. I don't know. All I can say it was the messiest kitchen I have ever done. I open the bag of coconut. Coconut spills everywhere. I have my electronic mixer, and I'm adding ingredients. I know not to do this, but I have it on high to save time, and I pour in my flour, and what happens? Woo! So then I need to go sift more flour. I am now in a full experience of cake. And I'm recognizing I'm getting more, and I keep coming back to, this is coming from love for my beloved Mary Jean. I'm saying in unity we have these affirmations, these thoughts of I'm saying the affirmations. And it's not coming from the consciousness from which those statements of truth have their origin and that are pointing us to. They're helpful. However, they're not sustainable. They're not embodied. Start talking about embodied awake awareness. They're not embodied when there's a general state of agitation happening. So I get the cake done, and I'm cooling it, and it's time to go to the grocery store. So I throw on clothes. I'm still in my pajamas. I think we're at noon at this point. I have just enough time now to go to the grocery store. No shower. We'll do that later. And I get to the grocery store, and I remember Russ Hudson once talking about eight energy, having like this sense of when you're in an airport and you see you need to get to your plane, and instead of seeing these beautiful expressions of humanity around you, you see everyone in your way as objects. And in the constricted eight energy, not in embodied eight energy, but in the constricted eight energy, and that we all have access to that. That's not specific to eights. That's we all have access. And I was there. I go into the grocery store. I have my list. I know where things are in the grocery store. And I needed to get some more baking soda. So I'm in the spice aisle looking for baking soda. And it's at this point that I recognize I am now irritated. Because I'm not finding things quickly. So you notice there's a thread of awareness, but not to the point of making a different choice yet. And there's some people in my spice aisle that are blocking me from finding what I need. And it was totally at that point when I went and I thought, when I recognized the thought, you are blocking me from finding what I need, that I thought, okay, enough. There's a critical point in our monologues with each other, and especially when we start looking at thinking as a sixth sense. I was so invested and so identified with my thoughts as reality at that moment that I just thought, this is nuts. This is suffering. And I am totally complicit in creating that suffering. And it might, if I keep going, it could very well leak out into others. So it was at that point that I went, and I remembered what he talks about, especially in these chapters 6 and 7, about flow state. And there's this panoramic experience of feeling connected with everything, of resting into that ground of being. And coming from that first. So there was this willingness and this desire to feel first at one and aware. And this was where some of that practice of I am shifts to I feel, shifts to I am aware of feeling, or there is awareness of feeling even. And it was at that point that I noticed this woman, and she kind of looked at me, and I said, do you know where the baking soda is? And she looks, she goes, oh yeah, I was here. She said, oh, it's over here. And she hands it to me, and I go, you know, instant feedback. Instant feedback. I probably would have spent another couple of precious minutes looking for that baking soda. And I needed every minute I had. And so after that point, I got home and the next coconut thing fell somewhere. And it was one of those times. But I was in a different state. I was in a different field. So when I got here, we served the cake. That's me with very little makeup and no shower, but with clothes on. And Mary Jean has a birthday cake, hopefully worthy, at least semi-worthy of her culinary skills. So, and that's all coconut because she loves coconut. So I thought, as a way of really presencing some of this, it's important to work with the contents of your life. As the, we can move on. Yeah, there we go. Well, thank you. Actually, I don't wear makeup unless I'm here usually, but nonetheless, I tend to, in my role, I like to look, the part. So one of the invitations of this week is to start, we've been practicing unhooking. How many of you are really practicing unhooking? Or you're still tripped up on you don't like the term, or you don't want to get it, or you don't get it, or whatever. Okay, so for those of you who are practicing unhooking, this is really, are you noticing there's a different relationship with thinking that's emerging? Like, this is nothing that we haven't worked with before, but I love the languaging he's offering. It's a really distinct, sometimes minute, but distinct differences between looking at thoughts and identifying with thoughts. I love that he says, and that the Buddhist saying of the thinking is a sixth sense. It's a higher sense in the fact that it orders all the others, and it says, okay, that alarm is not important. This heat is important. I mean, that's a valuable function of the ego. And if you notice, he's being very clear in the next chapter, he'll be even more clear, probably more than you want, of the different functions of the ego, the different layers of the ego. But I love that the two main ones that he's been already highlighting, and he'll continue to, of the difference between ego functions and ego identification. Ego functions are the things that we need. It's even to survive and to even thrive. He even makes okay our natural desire to be drawn toward or repulsed by. And he says, that in itself is fine. That does not cause suffering. You feel that? What causes suffering is the ego identification or the thought that is produced when we are moving away from or attracted towards something. So if we're attracted toward a piece of cake, there might be a sense of, I'm not feeling fulfilled. There's a hole in my life, so sugar is going to fix it. There might be other layers of thought that are driving that have nothing to do with the basic function of, I would like a piece of cake. So the function separate from the ego identification, which is the self-reflective thoughts, the hall of mirrors of moving through thought after thought after thought and believing them to be true and having the narrator commentating all the way along, the mini-me. Those are actually two separate things. So beginning to notice the healthy functions of the ego separate from the ongoing monologue becomes a really important step and cultivates this experience of more of the flow state. And he says that we want to shift out of this ego identification because it's thought-based creations creates an illusionary sense of self and leaves us feeling alienated. Have you experienced that? As if something is always wrong with us. Or something is always wrong in the world. Like, there is not enough. There's not enough time. Now there's not enough cream cheese. Now there's too many people. There's a sense of alienation from that that actually creates suffering. And one of the gifts of suffering is that if we recognize it, it can be the catalyst to make different choices. If we don't, then we just perpetuate, the suffering is perpetuated. So what he talks about is this embodied knowing. And that's what we're going to be moving into more. We've been practicing and really working with unhooking. And once that happens, and this is why we've been working a lot with moving it into moving local awareness, this movable presence into our chest, into our heart center, that there's an embodiment. There's an experience of no longer filtering, what he calls direct experience, through our sense of thinking. And there's this alive energy that happened, that starts to occur. So this week, keep practicing, moving from I am, whenever you catch yourself, I am, whatever. And eventually, we didn't have time, but I was actually going to get into, it's not just the negative emotions, it's the positive, or the negative thoughts, it's the positive ones too, he invites us to unhook from. But we'll get into that another time. So I am moves into I feel, which moves into there is awareness of feeling, into welcome, welcome. Practice that this week. And if you find irritation arising, not enough arising, people are objects in my way arising, that's a good chance that you're in suffering. And others probably are too. go forth and live it. And so we've come to the time of receiving of our tithes and our love offerings. And as you hold your gift in your hand, let us say together our affirmations one more time. Together, we are directly experiencing another way of knowing. I am developing my sixth sense. I am discovering thinking as inner hearing. I am glimpsing awake awareness. I am upgrading to non-conceptual awareness. I am embodied knowing. I am returning emotions to their natural state. And so as you continue and finalize preparing your love offering and signing your commitment card for this week to practice and to be in prayer, let us say together our love offering blessing. Together, divine love as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.